Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Alarmy, before we get started, we wanted to make sure you heard the big news. The Alarmist has joined Patreon. Patreon subscribers will get access to our content ad-free, as well as our Aftermath post-interview discussion and final verdict. We'll also be putting out additional bonus episodes and other fun stuff. Here's a preview of Guest Alarmist, where I step aside and let a guest walk us through a personal tragedy, and together the Alarmist crew figures out who's to blame. This month, Leah Poliott discusses the sisterhood of the traveling disaster.
But I do want to say, it's like what always happens too is that like you have these destinations you want to go to, but then something always happens along the way. There's always magic involved.
Yeah, it's the magic.
What's such the bummer is that Leah and Sarah didn't get to kind of find those pockets of magic in their
travels. We don't know. Was there a magical moment, even though all this chaos was going on, that you guys think about like with fond memories?
There were some ravioli that we had when we first got into France.
That's great.
And that is still magical in my heart.
Great.
It was the only place open from before dinner. We got in, it was like 3 or 4 at a weird time. Nobody was at this restaurant. Best ravioli I've ever had in my entire life.
That's great.
I'm so happy for you.
Yeah.
Go to patreon.com/thealarmist and subscribe today. Now on to our episode.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am the Alarmist.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into The Alarmist, a comedy podcast where we talk about history's greatest tragedies and figure out who's to blame. Today we're discussing the origins of werewolf folklore. Here's what you need to know. Science and the proliferation of video cameras have combined to make sense of a lot of strange things in this world. Or rather, they've made strange things less strange. One such phenomenon is the existence of werewolves. Believe it or not, folks from olden times really did believe that werewolves existed. While there were many theories about what they looked like and why they changed from human to beast, one thing was certain: they were scary. The origins of werewolves can be found in Nordic folklore as well as Greek mythology, when Zeus turned Lycaon and his sons into wolves. But there are also a few documented cases of werewolf attacks throughout history. In the 1500s, two Frenchmen named Pierre Bourgault and Michel Verdun are said to have made a deal with the devil to get an ointment that turned them into wolves. They murdered several children and were both convicted and burned at the stake. Another case that also took place in France in the same century centered on Giles Gardner, aka the Werewolf of Dole, who also had an ointment that turned him into a wolf. He too was burned at the stake for viciously killing children and eating them. The most famous case in modern history involved Peter Stube from Germany. He was a well-to-do landowner who confessed to terrorizing his hometown, killing men, women, and children. He supposedly had a belt which turned him into a werewolf. However, the belt was never found, and Peter's confession came under scrutiny since he was subject to prolonged torture by the police. Although none of the cases are proof that a human actually turned into a wolf, there have been instances of lycanthropy, which is when a person is convinced that they're a wolf. There have also been rabies, and of course, some people are just hairier than others. Werewolf folklore in modern times has mostly been relegated to the fictional realm. Stories that involve a full moon and silver bullets can be found everywhere. But who is responsible for coming up with such a vile and dangerous creature? Or is it just a reflection of our own dark nature? After all, human beings are the animal that's most capable of committing heinous acts of violence. Many so-called werewolves were in fact serial killers, with France notoriously leading the pack. The first references to werewolves are thousands of years old. Some argue that the earliest mention of a werewolf comes from the Epic of Gilgamesh, a piece of writing from 1800 BC. Two of the five medical conditions that are popular amongst werewolf mania are lycanthropy, a rare psychological condition that causes people to believe they're changing into a wolf or other animal, and hypertrichosis, a rare genetic disorder causing excessive hair growth. In France, between 1520 and 1630, there were more than 30,000 recorded cases of people who claimed to be or appeared to be werewolves. With us today, we have producer Clayton Early.
Hello.
Fact checker Chris Smith.
Hi.
And our very special guest today is screenwriter, producer, director, Tracy Hare. Hi, Tracy.
Tracy Sayre. It rhymes with hair.
Oh, my God.
That was amazing.
Should I do that again?
The irony was you got
it. Or should
we
keep it?
You got it. I think we should keep it.
Tracy Sayre. The whole time I was like, remember, Rebecca, it rhymes with hair.
Yeah, you did.
Tracy Sayre.
But, you know, Tracy, I'm normally incredibly bad with names, and the fact that I was even that close is
you have werewolves on the brain. Yeah. You're thinking of hair features. That's right. Makes sense.
That's right.
Tracy, you're also the co-director of Moonshot Initiative. I was hoping that you could tell our listeners a little bit about it.
Sure. Yeah. It's a nonprofit for gender equity. We've been working for the past 6 years. We've advanced the careers of thousands of women and non-binary filmmakers. We've made 36 short films with over 900 women, and those films have gotten into over 100 film festivals.
Amazing.
Awesome.
That's awesome. We're just very excited to have you on the show to talk about werewolves. But before we dive in, we ask all of our guests, what is something that's recently alarming you? What's something that's keeping you up at night?
Ooh, Good question. Well, I have two small kids, and so I think like everything that I've said to them over the past day, I review it all in my head. I'm like, have I scarred them forever?
Oh man.
That alarms me.
So it's
that's a sign of a good parent, is what I would say. Yeah. Like I know what you mean though, because you're like, I mean, in the moment, you're probably kind of not making it up as you go, but there's a certain element of improvisation, I'm sure, with all of these situations when you come across problems with kids. But so there then is. When you review, how'd you do yesterday?
Yeah. What's your score?
Yesterday, my 5-year-old ended up watching a little bit of Angels in America. I had it on in the background and she walked in and she was like, I don't like this, but I'm very curious. And the section that she watched, they kept saying like, homo and F word.
Sure.
I was like, oh my God. And I didn't want to like pull her out immediately because then that would make her like even more curious. So I was like,
right.
I'm just going to like calmly tell her that it's bedtime. And when I was sitting down for bed, I was like, did anything that you watched, did that confuse you at all? Did you want to talk about anything?
Aww.
And she's like, I just don't understand why the TV that you watch, the colors are so boring.
That's her only concern.
That's her only concern.
That's good.
That's great.
Sort of more of a technical aspect.
Yeah. She had notes.
Anything.
She's more worried about you than you are about her, honestly. My mom is so, she's so tall.
Mom watches dull TV.
My poor mom.
She's like concerned about your stimulation, honestly. Mm-hmm. Your lack of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very alarmed.
Well, trying to see how this transitions into werewolf.
good luck. Let's just imagine we're all looking up at a full moon and we all turn into werewolves.
And the colors at night are so dull, right?
Yeah, they are kind of sepia.
In the dullness of the moonlight, mm-hmm. maybe. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, and they're all brown. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think we're there. I think we're there.
Tracy, you say the werewolves are brown?
I believe so. Actually,
Do you know a few werewolves?
Now that you pointed out,
you seem to have first-hand experience.
It's a good point. There aren't a lot of like ginger werewolves that you read about or hear about.
Spotted
or
no tan. You know, the tan seems to be a color we see in animals a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, this goes back to the writer creators of werewolf folklore, right? They should be more diverse in their creation of the lore, unless they are indeed real, in which case, what are we even doing here?
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back on movies that I've watched with werewolves and like, does the fur match the hair of the actor? I can't even remember. I feel like they're always just brown.
Teen Wolf is brown.
Yeah, that's true.
Did he have brown hair to begin with?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Michael J. Fox is brown hair.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, you know, I've never seen Teen Wolf.
Rebecca, can you frame the conversation a little bit for us? Like, what are we going at here in terms of who's to blame for what?
Mythology? I think it's for the
origin. It's a bit of a departure.
Yeah, it's for the folklore. It's for the origin of the folklore, the idea that werewolves are amongst us, and maybe perhaps like the bad rep that the werewolves get.
Oh.
Okay.
So why did we need to invent these mythical terrorizing creatures? Because they're not good. They're always bad.
Yeah. Gotcha. And they're never sexy. I found that very strange because vampires have always been sexy. There's always like a resurgence of vampire lore for every generation. And then it seems like right after Hollywood tries to push werewolves and it never takes off. They're never sexy. And it's so weird that like we find these like pale, blood-sucking creatures sexy, but like these like rough, furry,
it's a good point.
Primal creatures aren't sexy.
Well, this sounds like an agenda to me. This feels like all the like boring white dudes of the world are like trying to like subconsciously get us attracted to them. Whereas like the brawny, muscular, hairy guys are like, we don't need your help. We're fine.
Right.
So the propaganda of the werewolf. We were just before we hopped on, we were discussing, Chris, you went down you called it a wolf hole, a rabbit hole.
People go down a rabbit hole. I never know how deep that is. I'm not like a deep dive guy. I'm a shallow end guy. Maybe even kiddie pool could be sure. where I live.
We know.
You know, as you know. But I did look up the list of deadliest because, okay, so my mind went, werewolves, wolves. Why are we so obsessed with wolves? Why are wolves so scary to us? Mm-hmm. And then I was like, are they really deadly? Perhaps they are. But they're actually, I looked it up. I looked up a list of the deadliest animals to humans, and they're not even on the top 10.
Wow.
I believe it. They're smart. They're not going to go after another apex predator. Yeah.
Well, it's true.
Tracy said that possibly deer were on the top 10 because of car accidents. And I thought that was an interesting take. However, I'm sad to say they are also not on the top 10.
Wow.
The top hippos. 10 are mostly, does anybody want to take a stab?
Hippos?
Are you?
Sorry?
Hippos. I think she might have a point. I'm saying, rhinoceros or something.
And also include an animal, like the animal kingdom, not just like.
And is this like animal attacks on humans, Chris? Is that what
this
you mean by
just
most
deadly in terms of killed humans killed per year?
Okay. I would say a bear.
Bear, maybe horses because we ride them.
You guys are going to be like.
Spiders?
Sharks.
Can we include insects?
Yeah, there you go, Tracy. Now you're starting to get warmer. Now you're getting warmer.
Wait, spiders kill more humans?
No, not spiders, but insects.
Oh, okay.
I'll just tell you.
No.
Bees.
Oh, that's a good guess.
You guys are skipping the biggie. You guys are skipping the biggie, which is mosquitoes.
Malaria.
That's kind of anticlimactic.
I should have known that. Clayton should have known that.
It's a real problem.
Who's number two?
Oh, I know, but I
guess I mean, what number two is, you guys.
Number two. Oh, is it also an insect?
Humans? Yeah, of course.
We kill each other.
Humans I'm actually surprised humans aren't first.
I know, me too.
Exactly. Mosquitoes got us by about 500,000 a year, but then it's humans. And then the drop-off is massive. Okay. Then the drop-off, it goes from about 500,000 humans kill humans per year, and then snakes kill humans, 50,000.
Surprising.
This is according to CNET.
So this is making a lot of sense to me now. Now suddenly the werewolf folklore all makes sense because if humans are the number two killers, we're basically just werewolves. Yeah. People probably just can't believe we're so vicious, so they have to invent.
And then here's the kicker.
Around.
Yes.
Here's the kicker: is dogs is number four.
Oh, shocking! Yeah.
There's
pets.
A lot of dogs.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is the perfect transition to start putting things up on the board because the first thing I wanted to put up was our human need to feel like we're in control. And this is from today. And it says, it's sort of that Jekyll and Hyde story. The idea that you become a werewolf, then go back to being a human again. That says a lot about humanity and the fear of not having control over ourselves or getting into that part of us that goes eating and running in the wild. That part of us that is not proper. Real or imaginary, one thing's for sure. Werewolves are likely here to stay. We're going to never stop telling werewolf tales. It's just part of us. And so we all have a little bit of werewolf in us, I guess.
He's already talking to my theory.
Yeah. Clayton has this theory that underneath this civility of society is just this pulsating, reckless chaos.
Thin line. So you take away all of our comforts and maybe we just become werewolves. So that's what I think.
So
we're just hanging on for dear life.
Yeah. I mean, I do. I mean, especially in traffic and in road rage incidents, I do feel like I become somewhat closer to a werewolf than I do to a man.
Ooh, maybe that's like a good metaphor of like us, you know, he said, like, talking about like our...
I guess if anything, it's losing control, really.
Yeah, having like a lack of control, like how vulnerable that might make you feel, and therefore you're kind of the whole push into a corner mentality. Like,
are we more afraid of becoming werewolves ourselves, or are we more afraid of like the dangers lurking in the woods?
Right.
Like, I feel like it's a folklore to keep people indoors and away from the woods, the big scary woods.
That's a great point. And I probably, that probably goes back more to like the origins of where this all started, right? Where like you were just like living out in the woods, no, not a lot of like power or
very small town vibes. And also with a full moon, if people didn't have electric light, I think like younger kids would be encouraged to play outside when there's a full moon because they can see. And then their parents were probably like, oh, don't go out on a full moon. There's big, scary creatures.
We should put, I like that, parents. We should put parents up for like creating this.
Parents are always to blame.
Tracy's already nervous about herself as a parent. Let's put them up.
I blame those parents.
Well, to bring it back to wolves. Wolves are the villains in so many fairy tales. And I did a lot of research on this back when I, before I started my organization, I was writing a novel about a wolf sanctuary. And I was trying to get to the root of why wolves are so polarizing. And it turns out that a lot of farms were being built in Europe. A lot of farms were being built along the perimeters of these old forests. And so they needed to teach their kids not to run out into the woods at night or during the day. And so they came up with all these stories about how there were wolves trying to steal your bread and trying to wear you a skin. Even though wolves like didn't attack kids, really. It was just a way of keeping them away from these big, scary places.
It's like a boogeyman, kind of.
Yeah.
It's a version of the boogeyman.
Totally.
And I think that's a really good point. I think we should put the farming community up on the board.
Well, the boogeyman, though, is that's more just like he's like evil lurking. That's like more children's nightmares. I feel like the wolf in like fables and stuff is used more as like a, I mean, like a fable, like to teach your kid a lesson kind of thing, right?
What is
like,
that? So that's a good point. Is there, is it like a morality tale or something like that? Or is it more of like a safety measure? It's almost like one of those invisible dog collars, like you get shocked once and like the dog knows not to go too far. But I'm just trying to think of what the story version of that is.
Who becomes a werewolf? Like, do you have to get bitten? Is there
these are all great questions. Let's do one at a time.
Well, let's put up on the board. Well, we can put a couple things up on the board based on what Tracy just said, which is
and we'll get back
morality
to
tale.
Yeah.
Yes. Or morality like morality tale.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, go on.
I was just gonna say it's almost like you don't want to blame the morality tale, but it's like maybe it's like people's lack of creativity when it comes to like teaching morality, but it's actually quite creative.
It
so.
Is quite
yeah,
creative.
So.
So never mind. Or creativity.
Yeah.
That's to blame. Well,
back to the farming community, because I feel like this will answer a lot of questions. This is from the New York Times. In the early 19th century, when the Grimm brothers collected their fairy tales, wolves presented an existential threat to small farmers in an agrarian society. Mm-hmm. The wolf was portrayed as the ultimate villain, a scheming predator who goes after women, children, and livelihood. In The Wolf and the Seven Goats, he gobbles up 6 of 7 baby goats. In Little Red Riding Hood, he swallows first Granny, then the little girl. You can explain that fairy tales are only fairy tales, but that alone won't do, said Miss Ludwig of the regional government. The psychology is complex because of the long history of the wolf in German folklore. Little Red Riding Hood syndrome, she called it. This is from Fandom. Ethologist Dr. Valerius Geist of the University of Calgary, Alberta, wrote that the fable was likely based on genuine risk of wolf attacks at the time. He argues that wolves are in fact dangerous predators, and fables served as a valid warning not to enter forests where wolves were known to live and to be on the lookout for such. Dating as far back as ancient Greeks, werewolves and other shapeshifters have been used in storytelling to not only help explain the unexplainable, but also to serve as a warning about what can happen when humans allow their dark side to take over. Monsters allow us to explore those categories that we're afraid to mix and match, or those fears that we're afraid to face directly. there's a lot here, right? Yeah. So I think the fable is part of it, the practical aspect. Mm-hmm. Don't go into the woods. There are wolves out there.
Right.
And then there's this more human, as you said, Chris, humans are the number two killer of humans.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. That we and there's like a denial, right? We can't believe that another human would commit such atrocious acts against their own kind. And so we must otherize it.
So maybe it's denying our own animal instincts or capabilities on the board.
That's juicy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's also like in this Greek mythology and in Gilgamesh, the story of Gilgamesh, the characters who turn into wolves, it's sort of like a punishment in a way. Like they're turned into wolves as like a punishment. So yeah, I think that that plays into this idea of, look, if you give it over into your darker side, you will become sort of more beast-like and less human.
Yeah, and all of the portrayals of werewolves in like Hollywood, and you guys tell me in Teen Wolf, no one is ever excited to be turning into a wolf when it's happening.
He's pretty excited.
They're shocked.
Okay, but usually they're shocked. They're like, "Oh no, it's happening again!"
Yes,
and they're always
very scared. Yes,
at the end they come to and they're like, "Oh my god, I'm naked in the middle of the woods. What's happening?"
Right.
Which back to your earlier point, Tracy, like is kind of sexy. So why aren't werewolves more sexy, right?
Exactly. Well, let's just put that on the board. Why aren't werewolves more sexy?
Perhaps it's because they are connected to a male sexual deviance or a male sexual aggression.
Oh, okay. Go on.
This is from Science How Stuff Works. These traits come not just from a werewolf's appearance, but from the folkloric history behind werewolves. In many stories, a man becomes a werewolf because of some sort of excess. His behavior may be too rough, or he may be, by the standards of the community, be sexually deviant, usually in terms of wanton relationships with women. One of the most famous wolf trials was that of Peter Stubb, who lived in 16th century Germany. His crimes were so horrific that when he confessed to being a werewolf, his fellow villagers welcomed the explanation. Stubb had raped and killed members of his family and had cannibalized his son.
Oof.
Yeah.
I'm just going to read this as well because it kind of plays into it. The earliest werewolf literature shows gods using lycanthropy as punishment. The idea of werewolves as punished men is also part of a number of folk tales, although gods aren't always part of the story. Sometimes someone simply becomes a werewolf as a result of bad behavior, or someone whose behavior is bad turns out to be a werewolf. The transgression often has something to do with sexual excess, and the culprit is usually male. In one tale, a woman suspects that her husband is a werewolf. One day, while he's at work in the fields, a wolf comes into her kitchen and attacks her. It bites her skirt or apron, which is usually red, and runs away. When the husband returns, his wife sees part of his skirt, of her skirt, caught in his teeth. The double entendres abound. This connection to rough or coarse behavior also ties into modern psychology. In psychological terms, you might think of a person's struggle with lycanthropy as a struggle to become, to come to terms with or to get rid of their more primitive nature. When a man becomes a werewolf, his primal instincts, which aren't necessarily considered to be appropriate, take over.
Mm.
It sounds like an excuse a little bit.
Yeah.
Right. For just like sexual violence.
Yeah.
I can't control myself. I literally, when the moon comes out, my hair grows long, I grow fangs, and I murder children. I can't control myself. Like that's, that doesn't sound like a,
my bad.
It sounds a little flat.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe like puritanical beliefs belong on the board.
Yeah. Yes. I like that.
Yes.
Definitely. Love that.
Do we put making excuses for men's sexual violence?
Yeah, I think
the patriarchy. Yeah. That's always
The patriarchy. There it is. Thank you, Tracy.
We always come back to it. You know, it's reminding me of like, there must be a huge correlation between werewolves and witches. So it's like this werewolves are the male version of what witches were at the time,
right?
Yeah,
and a lot of people were convicted of being werewolves. There's something like 300,000, like this is one of the facts we mentioned earlier, but in France from 1520 to 1630, there's more than 300,000 recorded cases of people claiming to be werewolves.
30,000, I think.
Oh, sorry. I said three. I probably said like 3 million. No, 30,000. Still a lot.
To be or being accused of being.
I think that was like a rash of like maybe accusations or claimed to be or appeared to be is what it says. But I got to look into this. Hang on one second.
Yeah. I think there was a time period where people would be accused of horrific acts and they would just resort to being, you know, either they would jump to the conclusion that people must be a werewolf or they would actually say they were werewolves to try and excuse themselves.
That is hilarious to me because I think like no people being accused of anything were like, it's because I'm a witch. You know, like you can't blame me, but I love that a man's like, oh, it's not my fault. I'm just a werewolf. So let me off the hook.
I'm seeing that number has been debunked for the most part.
Okay.
So I'm seeing that's kind of like a bogus number. Mm. Although that period, there was a lot of panic about werewolves. And I think that plays into what we're talking about, which is this sort of fear. Like, what causes this fear?
Well, I like the word panic, Chris. Like,
yeah.
But like a community of people going into a panic, the idea of that, like based on like a rumor or something, is kind of interesting.
Ooh, hysteria. That's good. Okay. Here's an excerpt that might be relevant. This is from today. In the era of the witch hunts, French authorities, seeing witches everywhere, believed their satanic powers included the ability to transform into a wolf. Oh, okay. So now they're blaming the witches for turning men into wolves.
Oh,
now that makes sense.
We got there.
As a result, he says, countless people were burned at the stake for the crime of being a man wolf. In fact, according to Woods, the practice of burning and executing werewolves lasted well until the 1700s. There were a lot of places and times where that was way more popular than witch trials, Woods says. They were convicting, torturing, and executing people on charges of being werewolves. Okay. Now, I wonder if it's just like every man who like committed some kind of sexual deviance or crime was just labeled a werewolf at the time. And that's why the werewolf numbers just skyrocketed.
We're so high. That's a sad possibility.
Yeah.
Like any guy that like doggy style, burn him.
Yeah.
He's a werewolf.
Freak. Oh.
I feel like we should also look into and discuss the more practical reasons.
Okay, sure.
Why, so for instance, rabies, it's possible that.
Oh, so like an actual dog with rabies and people think it's a human turned into a werewolf kind of situation.
Well, humans can
get
rabies.
Yeah, people getting rabies.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, but they don't turn into like hairy beasts, right? You just become.
But they do get more violent.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it usually comes from an animal bite.
Yes.
Then perhaps is why I feel like werewolves eventually, because vampires bite people, but I think you can also become a werewolf by biting another person, and then that person becomes a werewolf.
Right. According to folklore, yes. That's the way you become. But that's if you new. Survive a werewolf bite.
Yeah.
That's it.
That was new. That wasn't. OG reason.
I thought werewolves like were hereditary. I thought like
that
you find
too.
Out that your dad was that a werewolf.
Too.
That too. And there were some early medical conditions which were unexplained at the time and that were kind of linked to being a werewolf. This is from History Daily. In 1725, a young boy was found naked and walking on all fours somewhere in Germany. Dubbed a wild boy, he was one of the first cases of children believed to be raised by wolves. He could not talk or walk upright and ate with his hands. His name was Peter and treated like a sideshow freak. People came to gawk at the wild boy. After a time, he was sent to England to be novelty for the courts of both King George I and King George II. Although he
put them up on the board.
I know. Although he was said to be a wolf boy, most likely the child suffered from a medical condition. Some experts think Peter had Pitt-Hopkins syndrome, a disease that would explain his lack of speech and stunted intelligence.
Mm.
This is from History Daily. In very rare cases, a human is afflicted with what is sometimes called werewolf syndrome. They have excessive hair, and the hair is more than just a thick beard. It covers the entire body, with the exception of the palms and soles of the feet. This condition is called hypertrichosis, but it is often called werewolf syndrome because the patients look like human wolves. Extreme cases of hypertrichosis caused by a genetic mutation are very rare. In fact, there have only been 50 cases reported since medieval times. It could be, however, that werewolf myth began when people mistook hypertrichosis sufferers for human wolf hybrids.
Right. Okay. So up on the board, should we put hypertrichosis?
Yes.
Also, yeah. Should we put lycanthropy, which is the like people believing that they're wolves?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's the one where you, and you can believe you're any kind of animal, right?
Right, right.
What's that called again?
Lycanthropy.
Oh, yes.
And then also like rabies infecting humans.
Rabies is on here. Yes.
I also want to put up on the board bad lighting. Because I feel like if you had one or any of these things and it wasn't daytime, you could be like, there could be a lot, like you're, anybody observing you could let their imagination run wild because they can't see you or they can't.
Well, along those points, yeah. Then we should put up bad eyesight, because back in the day you couldn't get glasses and you were just like, that was a blurry, crazy guy. It's a werewolf.
Let's get it up there.
We haven't put the full moon up yet, though.
Well, again, that's one of those things that it's one of the folklore.
Right.
And it, that, well, I think it was layered on later, like in Hollywood version of werewolves.
We don't know that they don't exist. We could probably, we could say like 99.9% like sure that there's no such thing as a werewolf, but like.
You want to leave that possibility.
I mean, you just open. Never, ever know.
It's true. True. It's true.
We'll have to ask our expert. When he comes on.
Yeah.
Could we add lead poisoning to the list as well?
Yes.
Why? Tell me why.
It just seems like whenever you look at history, anyone's bizarre behavior is in line with the symptoms of lead poisoning. And everyone was just drinking pure lead goblets all the time. So it seems like people probably went crazy and were running around naked and angry now, what and aggressive.
Are the symptoms of lead poisoning are just going mad?
I think so.
Okay, we'll look that up. Chris, look that
I'll
up.
I'll get into this here.
Yeah. Thanks. While you do that, this kind of goes back to what we were discussing earlier, but it's like an easier way to digest serial killers.
Mm.
Here are some of the few serial killers of the time. this is from history.com. Whether Bergotte, Verdon, or Garnier were mentally ill, acted under the influence of a hallucinogenic substance, or were simply cold-blooded killers is up for debate. But it likely didn't matter to superstitious Europeans during the 16th century. To them, such heinous crimes could only be committed by horrific beasts such as werewolf. It's possible that the heinous acts of serial killers were mistaken for the work of werewolves hundreds of years ago. Several old cases of serial murders contain statements from the accused murderer claiming that he had turned into a wolf or another animal when committing the crime. It could be that these people were suffering from a rare psychological condition called lycanthropy, in which they truly believe that they're transformed into werewolves. It could also be that they're just murderers blaming their crimes on werewolves.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about crying wolf. This is from The Travel. Another well-known case is that of the werewolf of Dole, who made his mark during the 16th century, known by his real name as of Giles Garnier. His targets were children, and he too was burned at the stake after confessing to such horrible crimes. So it was a lot of excuses again for serial killers.
Mm-hmm. Again, yeah, serial killers, they just defy understanding. So again, it provides a sort of story that goes on top of these things that are hard for humans to comprehend.
Mm.
To go back to lead poisoning and what Tracy was saying before, yeah, there are they are extremely dangerous. They date back all the way to the Roman aqueducts. Some of them were made of lead. And leads to impulsivity and aggression. Absolutely, 1,000%.
There you go.
And yeah, and it's also, it's like brain function doesn't work properly.
Right. Ooh.
So throw it up there for sure.
Which is why they're trying to like make sure there's not lead in our regular drinking water, because they're literally just trying to keep the population from going totally insane. And then we have an actual zombie apocalypse.
Oh. Yep.
Zombie werewolf apocalypse.
Mm.
Yep. Who would win? Yep.
Zombie right, is the werewolf. Zombie the new werewolf?
I think that is something that is happening. I actually feel like I read that the werewolf is being taken over by the zombie, or at least, you know, there's Dracula, right? There's vampires. Right.
Still around. There's...
So sexy. So sexy.
Good for them. Well, there's werewolves, and then the new version is just like zombies.
Right.
And everyone's sleeping on the mosquito.
Oh, no. Well, meanwhile, just killing all of us.
Yeah.
Silent.
So I feel like we've got a hefty board here.
Okay.
Is there anything else we feel like we want to put up on the board?
Maybe
I can't
just
think of anything.
Boredom.
Boredom?
Like
why, Clay?
Just coming up with creative stories.
Yeah, just like because when you look back at the origins, it was just like of a very specific time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe this kind of injected some like thrill, that like risk of, I don't know, the supernatural, the unknown, the unexplained. And
I don't know. Puberty. That's the other thing.
Ah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I knew true. I was missing something.
Puberty is very scary. Strange places. Oh. Yes.
Yeah, it's puberty. Like
it's the dramatic effects of puberty and how your body changes.
That's what Teen Wolf is about.
It's just
no, it is. That just clicked for me.
And people maybe not understanding those changes.
Mm.
There's also like a version where they thought that it was like old-timey teenage rule breakers.
Right.
You know, teenagers are just acting like teens and like Tracy said, it was like a way for their parents to just get them try inside the house.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Huh. All right. That's really interesting. Okay. Sounds good.
Okay.
Put it up
let's
on the
take,
board.
Let's take a quick break and then we'll start knocking things off the board.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Who's to blame for werewolf folklore origins? Is it human need to feel in control? Parents? Farming community? Morality tall tales? Humans denying our own animal characteristics? Why aren't werewolves more sexy? And that's more of just a general question. Male sexual deviance, puritanical beliefs, the patriarchy, collective hysteria, witches, rabies, unexplained medical conditions, hypertrichosis, lycanthropy, bad lighting, bad eyesight, lead poisoning, an easier way to digest serial killers of the time, boredom or puberty.
Hefty board.
Is the list always this long?
Not usually.
Not always.
Not always. This is a good one. Does anybody want to take a stab at why aren't werewolves more sexy just in general?
Isn't there the one werewolf, though, from Twilight that is sexy?
Oh.
Isn't him like him? But I don't know the series at all.
Sexy when
what's
he's
the actor? She's
Taylor Lautner.
Yes.
But never really took off. The same way, like Legends of the Fall, not Legends, Interview with a Vampire. It just seemed like after that, like there were so many shows and movies and books about vampires and werewolves. Yeah. Like it just kind of ended with Taylor.
My guess is this, that based on our conversation, the werewolf is it goes back to the deviance or the aggression. Like they are very violent, whereas like a vampire is very much into like luring their victim with a lot of like charm and wit and all of that. So maybe that it's easier to write the sexy vampire than it is to write the sexy crazed beast.
I am looking at a Google image search for sexy werewolf and it is really, really rough out there.
Oh boy. Oh yeah. Don't
tell
me.
I'm gonna get some weird ads now.
There's weird
You were careful.
Looking forward to my Instagram tomorrow for sure. Okay. So want to take that off the board right out of the gate.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to come up with the answer to why werewolves aren't
think
more
so
sexy.
Either.
Agreed.
And to Tracy's point, like Twilight was revolution. I feel like it was revolutionary in that it was like, we're doing it, but this time the werewolf is sexy.
Yeah,
and
it's an anomaly.
Again, it didn't pick up. Okay.
I think a lot of these overlap, like morality. Male sexual deviance, puritanical beliefs.
Right. How do we want to categorize all that?
Insane realm.
Okay. So, okay.
What do we fold them into? Like what seems to be like the header under that?
Unexplained medical conditions for the, we can put the werewolf syndrome, hypertrichosis, and lycanthropy under that.
Okay. And rabies.
And maybe like rabies and lead poisoning, like all medical.
Right.
Explanations. Right.
And an easier way to digest serial killers, I feel like we can fold that into male sexual deviance.
Sure.
Okay, I mean, there's a huge leap between sexual deviance and serial.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right.
Maybe we just leave that
separate
on its own. Mm. You could put, maybe we put bad lighting and bad eyesight under, well, not lighting, but eyesight and no glasses can go under unexplained medical conditions as well.
Yeah, I guess it all kind of gets folded in, but I mean, bad lighting, I feel like,
leave that. So. Leave it.
Yeah.
No.
Nighttime, that's an issue. It's always been an issue.
I think the thing about, morality tall tales.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can fold a lot into that, right?
Okay.
Because we can on the one hand be talking about how to teach lessons to your kids to not go out at night, and on the other hand, we can teach lessons to people about how to rein in your more
rage.
Kind of rage and impulsive behavior.
True.
So maybe we can roll male sexual deviance and aggression as well as like humans needing to feel in control, as well as an easier way to digest serial killers, all into morality, tall tales.
Yeah. And parents. Okay. Parents are the ones teaching morality.
Yeah, right.
Okay,
right.
Great.
Okay. Parents. Okay.
And and the male sexual deviance or aggression, I guess, folds into that as well.
And puritanical beliefs.
It's a very useful tool if you're sort of trying to rein people in, is to make up these like stories. I can totally see how religion is a big thing. You come up with a bunch of like compelling stories and people are like, yeah, that's true. I guess I should behave a certain way.
Right. Yeah. Well, and they are lasting, right? Like Red Riding Hood, like totally. Everyone knows that story, and there's a lot of lessons you can pull from like speaking to strangers, you know, like all that kind of stuff.
It's incredible branding, and all the while never needing to be sexy. Which is even more like
They've already sexualized Little Red Riding Hood. Don't you worry.
Okay.
It's the know.
But the wolves. Werewolf. Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
The wolf.
Okay.
In terms of witches, I feel like they need to be taken off the board.
Yeah. Doesn't feel super strong.
It's just a way to blame women.
Yeah. Farming, so then it's under the patriarchy.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, for sure. Right, for sure.
Farming community or agrarian communities like make so much sense to me because, okay, we were like these humans that were like roaming and hunting, gathering. And then we were like, oh, wait, you can plant like
agriculture
and like live here for a while. And that's when they were like, all right, well, let's like collect a bunch of sheep. And that's when wolves were like, you're going to stay here?
Like, yeah,
okay, cool. This is kind of
thanks for gathering my food.
Yeah, like this is great. Or I guess it's like shooting fish in a barrel, I guess, too. And that's when I think wolves kind of presented themselves as more like, I don't know how to put it, but like a common enemy.
Like social order is the bigger picture because that's like, all right, we're farming now. We need to protect our crop. But we also need to protect our society as well. We can't have any deviants. We can't have anyone.
Right.
But I'll have to be on board here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Social order.
So should we let's add that. I know that we're taking things off the list right now, but I want to add that. I feel like we can take out humans denying their own animal characteristics.
Sure.
Right. Well, that plays into morality tall tales, which I think folds into social order. And I think you can fold morality tall tales and farming community into social order.
Yeah.
Because that's ultimately like what started kind of all this contested relationship with these wolves. And
you said and fold morality into social order as well, Chris?
I mean, what do you guys think about that?
Because social order is a good or bad?
Well, I think it's more like social order makes me think of like the pecking order versus like social obedience or something. Like, if as long as we're thinking about it that way, it's about like everyone like kind of maintaining the control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we all need to be on the same page and we all need to know who's the boss.
Right.
Ooh, that screams control, right? Okay, well, let's work back. I feel like boredom falls off the list, as does bad lighting. I know darkness is scary, but...
Yeah, puberty feels a little puberty, like you can't blame the human body for just doing its thing.
Right.
But hysteria, I feel like, can also just go into like...
It's also the time period, you know, it must have been so scary. We've talked about this before, but it must have been so scary to live in that time where it is darkness. You are out alone. There are so many, you're so susceptible to all of the elements.
Completely.
And to human, you know, deviance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no one to call. No one's going to come and help you unless it's you scream and it's your neighbor who decides to help.
Which is why you cling on to this social order. Like you need for people to be of a certain kind of civility, like Clayton always says, the thin line.
So it's a form of control. Yeah, this is...
Yeah, this folds it to me. Yeah. This is all social order.
Okay.
We've got social order.
We've got morality, tall tales, the patriarchy, and unexplained medical conditions.
I think that's patriarchy really goes under social order.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So then what do we think about sending?
And I think morality, tall tales is a tool for maintaining social order.
Yeah, I agree.
So then is that more? Then I think that's more to blame.
The morality, no? tall morality. Tales
for the werewolf specifically.
Yeah.
For the werewolf,
for the creation
folklore.
Of the werewolf.
I think for the fear of the werewolf, that's more like the social order.
Yeah, but so then maybe that's what we're talking about. Maybe you answered your own question.
It's like almost like a, you know, it's a modern version of like, you know, Old Testament, like religion, why this like puritanical times was really created to like create some kind of order and like a chaotic society, right? Like there's going to be rules if you don't follow these commands or whatever. So this is almost like the secular or the non-secular way of controlling the population. It's not like fear of God. It's fear of monsters.
Ooh.
And man.
Okay, so social order goes to the alarmist jail and we slap unexplained medical conditions.
Yeah, I think that's right. Because that was probably the actual like rationale for a lot of these events.
Yeah, or even the inspiration, right? Mm. There must have been one or two people.
Right.
and that, you know how things snowballed back in the day.
Right.
I mean,
my neighbor
it's
Ralph.
A game of telephone.
My neighbor Ralph, have you seen him with his shirt off?
Guy's
got hair on his shoulders and stuff. It's really weird. You know, I have an idea for a story actually about that.
Yeah, there you go. The rest is history.
All right. I think I'm gonna call it. Okay.
We did it.
We did it. Okay. Unexplained medical conditions. You're getting the big slap.
Mm.
Social order, you're going to the alarmist jail. I'm scared now that we sent social order to the alarmist jail.
Well, it's not just like, it's like real like control. I feel like it's not just like, let's all just work together, right? Like, I feel like that's what we mean when we say that. It's like controlling the population.
Also, who's making the rules, right? You got to ask yourself.
Right.
Who set, you know, we're so flawed. It's just like our idea of how society should be.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, when you start creating a society, you got to just be careful. Like, get a good group of people that you trust. You know.
Yeah.
Make sure
the next time you create a society.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make sure you got a good group.
Get a full meal. You know, you don't want to do this kind of thing on an empty stomach. That kind of thing.
No. Yes. Make sure everyone's well fed. And this is why this was the perfect group to figure out who's to blame for. The werewolf folklore. Tracy, I mean, we couldn't have done this without you.
Wow, so, thank you so much for having me.
You'll be getting our phone call. I hope you pick up the phone when we decide to call you for our social order meeting.
Right. I don't know if you have experience creating societies, but we're going to need you.
Sorry. You're committed.
Sorry.
Oh, no.
And if you're having a rough day with the kids, just tell them about werewolves to get them in line.
Oh, yeah. You picked up some parenting tips.
Sure, too.
Thank you so much, Tracy.
Thank you. This was fun.
In the aftermath, our werewolf obsession is alive and well. And as recently as April of this year, a video emerged purporting to show a living werewolf crossing a street in Corrientes, Argentina. The image is blurry, but the message is clear. We're still obsessed with werewolves. The Alarmist is now on Patreon. Subscribe and get ad-free content along with bonus episodes. Go to patreon.com/thealarmist or check out the link in our show description. Visit our website, www.thealarmistpodcast.com. And follow us on Instagram @TheAlarmistPodcast and on Twitter @AlarmistThe. You can also send us your thoughts via email to thealarmistpodcast@gmail.com. Today's episode was produced and engineered by Clayton Early, with editing by Molly Hockey and fact-checking by Chris Smith. Thank you to our associate producer and researcher, Crystal Dinsberg. The Alarmist is executive produced by Rebecca Delgado-Smith. Tune in next week. We'll be discussing Malaysian Airlines Flight 370. The Alarmist.
Powered by Acast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's AURA.com/safety.